Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome back. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. It is so good to have you all with us this evening. I'm back. And before I get started any further, I really want to give a shout out to my co-host, Ms. Camilla Cross. She did a fantastic job. I was out sailing last week. And she carried the show. I tried my best to get in to the show, but we were so far set of sail that I could not, we weren't able to get in through the channels that we tried. But Ms. Cross did an outstanding job. I was able to listen to most of, at least 20 minutes of the show. And from what I could hear, she was just right on point with everything. And I want to especially thank her. And last week's topic was, should the adult children threaten a parent's new relationship? And of course, I just want to give my take on that oftentimes, for some reason, in the state of our marriage society now, marriages are now ending in over 50%, ending in divorces, and that's unfortunate. It's happening throughout. And because of that, it means that parents are, who may have had one time a union together, a husband and wife who may have had those their kids together, have now moved on. And the kids, as they've gotten older, and in some cases adult children, there's a good likelihood that you're going to meet someone, or a woman's going to meet a man, and she already has kids, and there's a good likelihood he has kids, and vice versa. So having said that, it will also indicate that you're not the biological parent of these children, but you're there as a support system and a companion for the parents of those children. But unfortunately, sometimes at teenagers and little kids, we can understand the attitudes and behaviors of little children, because if you're not that biological father, they don't really want you around their mother, and vice versa. If you're not the biological mother, they don't want you around their father. When they have that close relationship and close ties. There are times also when you find yourself or yourselves with teenage children. They give these parents of, that's not their biological parent, they give them attitudes as if they don't like them. And part of that could be understandable because they're still angry that their parents may not have made it. But we live in a time now where it's almost like, unfortunately, it's almost like become the norm that, you know, these blended families exist, or that you're dating someone your parent is dating someone that's not your biological parent. So when you go in with these attitudes, especially as adult children who are in relationships and who may even be married, and you're threatening, oh, you better take good care of my mom otherwise, or what? I mean, or what? What are you going to do? I mean, anybody that I believe that those adults are old enough to hopefully pick someone that's not going to be violent, you know? So, I mean, I don't think anybody want to go into a relationship with the mindset that I'm going to, you know, having been divorced and they're saying, I'm going to go into this new relationship with the mindset that I'm going to hurt somebody. You know, I mean, it's that child is threatening that parent. Keep in mind that that parent also has children, and you see how the confusion and it becomes all messed up. So, you know, I want to thank Ms. Cross for such an outstanding job on what she did last week, and I just wanted to give my spiel on that. And tonight we're going to be talking about the importance of self-love. But let me go ahead and bring in my co-host, Ms. Cross. Once again, thank you. And just give me a synopsis on how you ended the show last week, please.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Walker. It was a pleasure and an honor to be able to, you know, work with the with our callers and have a good, a phenomenal show. It was a good experience. You know, I know that majority of the callers, they did agree that, in a sense, as an adult and you raise your children, you have to live your own life as well. So, you know, you can, I think that the overall consensus was that you should respect somewhat of what you should respect what your children feel, but at the end of the day, that shouldn't stop you from living your life and finding love again. So it was, everybody pretty much had that overall consensus, so It was a pretty good show.
All right, well, thank you for that. Now we're going to jump right to tonight's show. We've got two stories tonight that pertain to this week's show. We're trying to get our featured guest, Ms. Novia Reed, to enter in. If she's there, she'll need to press 1 on her dial. We want to go ahead and introduce her and allow her to tell us about herself. Okay, there she is right now. So we're bringing in tonight our featured guest is Ms. Novia Reed. She's going to tell us a little bit about herself. Ms. Reed, welcome to the show. You have my co-host, Ms. Cross, here as well.
Welcome, Ms. Novia.
Hi, Ms. Cross. Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we go into tonight's show, The Importance of Self-Love.
A licensed clinical social worker. I am a transformational speaker, and I'm an author. So I like to help people in every aspect of what I do, and I'm thankful that God has, you know, led me to know what my calling is, and I'm actively pursuing it. So that's I'm excited to be on the show to talk about self-love tonight.
All right, great. Tell us about what's your book? What's the title of your book?
Oh, well, I have two books. The first two are devoted to women. The first one is a devotional book. It's called Just You and I, Devotions from the Heart. And the second one is called Woman, This Is For You, and that's my memoir. So in that book, I'm really transparent about a lot of the things that I've gone through. I talk about loss and how I overcame that loss, but also the challenges that I had with getting through it, with battling with my faith with God, and talk about my experiences with surgeries and letting go of difficult relationships. So in both of these books, you know, women have the opportunity to write their feelings, their thoughts, and letters to themselves. And it's a book that's really inspired women, and I hope that it'll continue to spread and inspire women. So.
Okay, well, awesome. Before I get into tonight's stories, we've got two, and I mean, they're rather lengthy. But I want to give you an opportunity to just give us kind of a synopsis on what it means to have self-love. And then I'm going to get into the stories, and we're going to count on you a great deal to speak to the issue of those stories in addition to what you have to say. But give us a kind of a synopsis of what it means to have self-love.
Well, I think self-love is the care, the regard, the value, the concern that you have for yourself. We typically have that. And when I think about, you know, Corinthians, when I think about what the Bible talks about in Corinthians, that it says love is kind, love is patient, love is patient and understanding and self-control, those are the things that I think applies to yourself as well. So when I think about self-love, that's what comes to mind.
Okay. All right. Great. I'm glad that you gave us a synopsis on that. That you think about love for yourself, loving yourself. Because I think that a lot of times, and Ms. Cross, I want you to speak to this and just give us your take on it. A lot of times people tend to forget about themselves, especially like when you're in a single parenting relationship, because you're there by yourself and you're putting so much energy and time into your children that sometimes you end up neglecting yourself. And it's important to have someone on the show like Ms. Reed tonight to talk about self-love and the importance of that. Give me your take, Ms. Cross.
Well, I definitely feel that sometimes, as like you were saying, when you have children, when you have when you're in a marriage, you kind of spread yourself sometimes so thin that you're giving so much of yourself that you forget to give a little bit to one of the most important person, which is yourself. So as women, sometimes I guess because of the gesture of our nurturing nature, we do tend to put ourselves on the back burner. And because of that, there are times that we actually neglect ourselves. So I think it is very important to have self-love and to have, in fact, our social workers, we always say self-care. You always have to remember that if you're not good to yourself, how can you be good to anyone else? So sometimes we do have to kind of have reminders that, you know what, it's okay to have a spa day. It's okay to take a step back and buy ourselves, you know, whatever we, you know, that purse we wanted. Or it's okay to go ahead and just have a meditation moment, just that quiet space where it's just you and, you know, you and God. And you actually start reflecting on where you are, where you want to be. Like, as women, we definitely need that time to kind of take that pause.
Okay, awesome. Right there. So let's go to the first story tonight. It's going to deal with Edna. The second story will deal with Frank. But this one deals with Edna. She's a 27-year-old educated lady with past childhood dreams of one day owning her own bakery with a recipe that was left by her grandmother when she was 13 years of age. Now she's well seasoned into her adult life. She has been thinking about the vision of the bakery and shared her vision with her best girlfriend over 7 years ago. Well, the truth of the matter is her best girlfriend is actually her ex-best girlfriend because of the fact that her friend at the time took her idea with the step-by-step plans for success and ran with it. She opened her own bakery in another state and has been exceptionally successful without any consideration or credit to Edna. This, of course, has left Edna feeling worthless and no display of self-love, which has led her to a depressive state of mind. She now feels the lack of motivation to even think about starting a bakery and has elected to put the recipe aside and solely concentrate on her job as a manager of a small department store, which is a job that she's really not fond of. Now, this question that I start out with tonight, and Ms. Reed, I want to start this one out with you by asking the question, why would it depress someone like Edna, in this case Edna, just because her friend started a business that she had as a childhood dream of starting, you know, but she never did anything about it? Why do you think something like that would depress her and make her feel worthless?
Well, I think our dreams are tied to who we are. Like when we have, as a kid, when you have these aspirations of things that you want to grow up and do, you're envisioning who you're going to become. And to have somebody, in essence, probably in her mind, take that away from you and create it into something that it's their own, it can put you in a very depressed state and cause to make you feel worthless, because they got to do what you wanted to do. That was your vision. And for whatever reason, you didn't get the chance to bring it to life. And so if Anna's probably thinking, hey, how did she get to bring it to life and I didn't? And if it's friends, probably they're typically in the same age group in the same age group. And so what is it about her that led her to get it done, but I couldn't get it done? And so all of that self-doubt, self-criticism, all those self-judgment, all those things can cause us to feel depressed, because we're starting to compare her. She's starting to compare herself, and we compare ourselves to other women when they do things that we don't get to do, and then that makes us feel depressed because we feel inadequate. They did it, but I didn't. They could, but I couldn't. And so it's not a situation where, you know, they maybe have been like possibly 50 years apart, or they're probably in the same group, similar situations. And so her kind of figuring, why did she get it done and not me, probably contributed to her depression and her feelings of worthlessness.
Okay. Ms. Cross, do you see it that way as well? I mean, that makes sense. And then the question that I give to you, Ms. Cross, is Isn't there enough to go around, and why should that feel this way?
Well, I definitely relate to Novia, because a lot of times this was her childhood friend, and she probably expressed on several occasions this is what she wanted to do, but then her friend goes off and does it. In a sense, she's gonna feel a way about the fact that she didn't accomplish it, but you were saying that the friend went off to another state and did it. What she should have done is use that as her motivation. Because the whole thing is, if they were such good friends, she should look at it along the realm of, you know what, it is possible. It's something that she's always wanted to do. Her friend actually showed her that it can be done. So instead of her taking her depressed feelings, she needs to, because sometimes it's not about what we go through, but it's about how we handle it. So she needs to use that energy, because it's all about the energy that we put off as well. So you don't have to pretty much give people the ammunition that they're looking for. So what she needs to do is take that information and twist it around and use it as her motivation. Because if this is her vision and something that she's always wanted to do, the way that it's going to reflect is going to look different than even what her friend might be doing. Because her friend may be doing it for, you know, the motivations may be different. But if this is her passion, her dream, something that she feels like she should be doing, so what if her friend did it? It is, you know, that's what it is. She needs to revamp her mind frame, get out of that state of depression. I always tell people, you can have depressed moments, but you shouldn't stay in it. That whole feeling of depression is you don't want it to get so severe that you can't come out of it. So you have your moment, then you put on your, you know, they have this thing, put on your big girl panties.
Right.
Uh-huh. All the time saying, right? Put on your big girl panties, and she needs to progress forward. Everything that God reveals to you is to motivate you to go to the next step. So she needs to turn it around.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, 347-857-1769. I want to bring, if you want to talk to the issue of tonight, or you want to hear about Ms. Reed's book, Devotions from the Heart, or Woman, This is for You, or one of her books, then certainly press 1 on your dial. And we would love to hear your take on self-love, the importance of self-love. Let's take another question, Ms. Reed, and that is it selfish for her former friend to not share, that moved to the other state, to not share any of the proceeds with Aetna, since it was originally Aetna's idea?
Is it selfish? I mean, I could say it's selfish, but I want to look at the deeper issue of the fact that she did. She's not. It could be selfish, but she's not obligated to.
Right.
She's not obligated to share. Is it the right thing to do? Is it moral to do, being that that was your friend? It is the right thing to share it with her, but to say necessarily it's selfish, I would more consider saying it's wrong to not share it with her. But again, she's not obligated to, because there's no agreement. They didn't make an agreement for them to actually share. But on a moral compass of you saying that that was your friend, you should share it with her. You should probably be in partnership with her if that were your friend. But selfish is probably not the word I would. It's not probably the word that I would probably use, but morally I would say that she should.
Wow. Ms. Cross, I heard you in the background saying you agree with that. Why do you agree with that? I mean, I happen to agree as well.
Yeah, because I think the key is that this was her friend. And instead of her, you know, they could have definitely collaborated and done something together, you know, because I'm sure that I don't recall the names, but the young lady who kind of felt like she got her dreams taken from her, their relationship,
that's not the same.
I'm sure their relationship is not the same. So, you know, if this was her good friend from childhood, like what would have been, I think it would have made so much more sense for her to collaborate with her and for them to build together. The one thing about life, right? Because sometimes we all have our purpose, and sometimes our purpose is to help someone else grow, but we have to grow in the process as well. And I just feel like to go ahead and kind of intentionally do something that is wrong. And I know Ms. Novia was talking about with the moral compass. What are you gaining? we can be so much stronger if we collaborate. And I feel like if people's mind frames were like that, this world would look a lot different.
Yes.
I agree. I certainly agree. That's a very interesting perspective. you know, the like-mindedness, there's so much to go around. All right, now, before we switch to the other story, let's take a couple of comments that have come into the studio. Ms. Reed, let's have you take a look at this first one here. Mel writes in, he says, the importance of self-love, just like in tonight's story. I think self-love has to do with loving yourself first and foremost, and I think that Edna should have focused on her dream instead of sharing it with the other person and manifested herself, then invite her partner in. Ms. Novia, what's your take on that?
That's true, and that's ideal, and that's what we want. But, you know, like what she said, like Ms. Costa said, when you have friends, like sometimes friends become family. And so you never would think that your friends would do that to you or turn on you in that way. So you're not thinking about not sharing with them now or sharing with them later. Or I understand and I agree. But when you see somebody who's as your closest friend and you're probably seeing that you're going to be in each other's wedding, that you're going to think that you're probably going to be each other's godparents, being the birth and all those things, you don't think about the act of betrayal at that time. And so I think that's what really inspired her probably to share it with her. Because, like, when we have dreams and aspirations, we want to share it with somebody. We want to know that somebody's going to be our cheerleader and somebody's going to root us on. And sometimes we're not sharing with them to, you know, to bring them in, but we're sharing with them because we're excited and we want somebody to say, hey, I'm rooting for you too. Because, again, collaboration, like Ms. Cross said, that's what we're supposed to do with friends. And I think the reason what inspired her probably to do it is because she never anticipated the outcome of her being betrayed. So I get it. We should, you know, be mindful of our dreams, but sometimes our emotions and our hopes for friendship, it gets the best of us and inspires us to share, in spite of whether it's good or not.
All right. Very interesting perspective. And I agree there, you know, with this friendship thing. And I think it's important to also go forward with your dream. Ms. Cross, should you share your, do you think that you should share, you know, an idea that you have with a very close friend? I mean, you want to trust them, but should you really share that idea that, you know, you've mentioned, and Ms. Novia has mentioned the same thing, that maybe God gave you that idea, then should you share that with a close friend? And then why would you share it with a close friend? Just I want to know that.
Well, I have friends from, like, elementary school. And I'm, like, with my new venture, I know some of the callers may already know, I'm doing I'm an anger management facilitator. So when I decided to do this, you know, I went ahead and I shared it with several of my friends. But what happens is when and what's been happening with me is when it's something that you are destined or ordained or God already has lined up for you, I realized that with me sharing, doors swing wide open. You know, I haven't had any of my friends to come in and say, you know what, I'm going to go, maybe I'm just fortunate, I'm going to go ahead and do what Camila did, you know. It's more like, okay, Camila, everybody call me Camila, but my name's Camila, right? Okay, Camila, well, let me see who I can connect, or let me see which, you know, like, doors have been opening up. So they, like, I have a friend who does websites. So she's like, okay, let me see how I can help you to develop your website. I think I'm very blessed and fortunate to have people that come in my life. Like, I have genuine friends. Thank goodness I haven't been betrayed to that magnitude, because that would be very hurtful for me. Because as Ms. Novia was saying, my friends are like my family. So
right.
I have an amazing support system. So, but I know that if that was to happen to me, I would feel, you know, I would definitely feel hurt and betrayed.
Okay. All right. Ms. Novia, I want to ask this question here. Female writes in, she says, self-love to me means feeling special, even if no one else makes you feel that way. How is that? I mean, don't we really care about what other people say and think about us, or should we really?
We do care. Should we care? It's a different story. we care more than we should sometimes, and I've been there. you know, where I've looked at, you know, considered where other people's opinions more than my own. But yes, when you get to the point where you love yourself unconditionally, that means with total, without reservation, unapologetically and boldly, you can hear and you could even entertain what people say, but if it doesn't elevate you, if it doesn't grow you, if it doesn't support you, if it doesn't make it better, you don't let it sink in. Because you can never really stop people from what they say to you, but you have a choice of whether or not you embrace what they say as your belief. So if their thoughts are really going to inspire you and educate you and make you better or feel special, of course, hey, by all means, if you tell, absorb it. If you tell me I'm beautiful, I'm good, I'm gorgeous, I'll absorb it. But I need to know that for myself first. So we should listen to constructive feedback from people, but we must be wise enough not to absorb the negative comments, because once we absorb the negative things or care too much about what people think or say, then that becomes the reality we live if we're not careful.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. Could we overdo it with the compliments that we receive, that if everybody's telling you that you're beautiful, could it swell our heads or our egos to the point where we become arrogant with it? And how does self-love play into that, Ms. Reed?
Well, self-love is different. Like, self-love is not arrogance. Once you start to deal with arrogance, you've gone out the realm of self-love, because that's not self-love. That's arrogance. And once you start to become vain and conceited, that's not self-love. That's just straight-up conceitedness. Self-love, you still recognize and you embrace your worth, but you do not become conceited and arrogant to the point where you believe that you're better than other people, or where you can believe you're God's wonderful and awesome gift. But once you start to think that you're better than everyone else, then you've really stepped out of the realm of self-love. That's not what it is. You can admire and honor, and you should admire and treat yourself with dignity, with respect, with love, and you should look at yourself and admire yourself and believe you are amazing, because you are. God doesn't make junk. So, but when you start to, you know, put others down, then you're departing from self-love, and it's becoming something else. That's not what it is.
Okay. Let me ask you this then, and then Ms. Cross, I'm going to the same question will apply to you. I've seen in where very attractive women are even complimented by other women that may not appear as attractive as that woman. I've heard women say, wow, meeting them for the first time, you're really a beautiful woman. And that woman says, thank you. Is that, as far as it should go, the woman just absorbing that? Or should she reach out and say anything to compliment that woman who said that? Ms. Reed?
I think it really depends.
Give me that. Break it down for me. It depends on if the other woman is attractive, appealing, or what. I mean, let's keep it real. Okay, if the woman is heavy set, she's not as attractive, she's not as appealing, but this one woman has heard all these compliments all of her life, and now this woman, you know, whose self-esteem may be a little low, but you don't know that, but she says, gosh, you're a beautiful woman. And then I've heard women just simply say, thank you. And they say nothing else to that woman. So what does it depend on? Help me here now. Come on.
It depends on your motive. Like, if you're just saying it back just to say it, then you probably shouldn't say it. And there's some people who, I'm not saying that's what I think, but I'm saying there's some people who they're not going to say it back because they don't think it's true. They're not going to say you're beautiful if they don't think it. And so this is where sometimes it comes into play, where silence is best. And where your parents tell you, if you have nothing good to say, don't say it. Because sometimes people genuinely say thank you because they could be caught off guard, they could be shot, they could be just soaking it in. Because even though you're attractive to other people, it doesn't mean that you believe that, you yourself. So sometimes somebody giving you that compliment can really make you stop and ponder, wow, like somebody really thinks I'm beautiful. So you never know what that person is going through. You never know if they're processing it. But then there are also sometimes when people stay silent because they feel they cannot genuinely return the compliment. And if you genuinely feel that you cannot return the compliment, then it's best that you really don't say anything, because then you're probably going to find yourself in a lie.
But do you say thank you, though? Do you say thank you?
Yeah, of course you say thank you. Yes, you say thank you. Or you say, okay, I appreciate it. Women have told me that, and I've said the same thing to other women. I love your hair. I think you look beautiful. That color looks really great on you. And they're like, wow, really? You're really beautiful, too. And I say, oh, thank you so much. It really just, and it's genuine. If it's not genuine, don't say it.
But can you find something to say into that woman who's heavy set and whose hair hasn't been done in 7 months?
Stop it.
But she's
Walker.
Ms. Come on in. What do you say? What do you say? I mean, I see this all the time. Women will compliment another woman sometimes, and that woman just simply says, thank you. And I'm thinking, I'm waiting for her to say something like, you know, your words are very kind, and you know, thank you for that. What do you say, Ms. Brown?
Yeah, the woman who gave the compliment, she's probably not looking for a compliment in return, you know.
Okay.
It's been times where it's
good point.
Like the thing is, when you get compliments, every now and again, I like to give them back. I do. I'll catch a person on a good day, and I'll tell them that, oh, I like that dress. I like your hair. Because I know that with women, even though you may be beautiful, right, even though we may on the outside, everyone could be telling you you're beautiful, but sometimes we all have our little insecurities, okay, every now and again. Like I have this sister where someone will compliment me, and I'll be like, oh, I love your dress. Oh, yeah, I got it for $5. And I'm like, why would I do something? You know, because sometimes as women, we do tend to do that. But I feel like when you reach a certain level in your life and you're already confident with who you are and you've already heard compliments up the yin-yang, it's nothing wrong with giving something back. And I know it may be hard to find something in the heavy-set woman who hasn't had her hair done in 7 months. You know, it may be hard to find a compliment to give her. And I might not be able to catch her on Monday, but hopefully I can catch her on Tuesday and tell her something to keep her uplifted. You
know? Okay, but when that's – okay, all right. All right, let's take another comment. Then we're going to go to the second story tonight. This male writes in, Ms. Reed, we'll send this one out to you. He says, I have watched my parents in terms of self-love, how they communicate with each other, and have the utmost respect for both of them because they have truly shown me and my siblings the importance of self-love, and that means looking out for yourself first and taking care of your priorities in your life first for you and then others. For you first and then others. How important is that when it comes to self-love?
That is extremely important. And there's a quote that I've seen on social media a lot. It says that you cannot pour from an empty cup. And the insinuation behind that is you need to be filled so you can serve others, which is true. But you should be filled because you first deserve to be filled. You should be take care of yourself and take care of your needs because your needs deserve to be taken care of and not just to serve. But, yes, you do need to take care of yourself. You do need to prioritize because you can't fulfill your dreams to your best capacity. You can't serve. You can't pursue your dreams. You can't live your calling. You can't be 100% healthy as you want to be if you're not taking care of your needs, nor can you be the example that he talked about that his parents showed to him and his siblings of self-love was, I'm sure, related to his parents taking care of themselves. Because if they weren't taking care of their needs to be healthy, to be wise, to be spiritually sound, or whatever they did to be who they are, then that would have not flowed to their children. So you have to be able to take care of yourself and prioritize what you need to be physically, mentally, spiritually sound so you can pour, so you can be healthy for you too, but so you can pour into others and do everything. So it's without a shadow of a doubt, no questions asked, hands down, important to prioritize your needs. That is a part, a crucial part of self-love. And Ms. Cross touched on it earlier. It's called self-care. Self-care is not selfish. Self-care is absolutely necessary, and it's a part of self-love.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ms. Cross, did you want to come in before we switch to the second story now?
Yeah, I'll say this because I think, so I'll share a little bit. I grew up as a middle child, so I had the middle child syndrome. So you kind of either go left or right, and with me, I went to, you know, the whole concept of a middle child syndrome is you kind of look for that attention. So you kind of look for it in a good way or a bad way. With me, it was all about my education. So I pushed forward with education, and that's what kind of helped to mold me into who I am. So my whole thing is, though, I have this thing where I would take care of everyone around me, it took me a little while to kind of realize that I have to take care of myself. What I had to develop is that it's not selfishness, preservation, because if you're giving so much of yourself, it's easy. You know, we have this whole concept in social work, right? Novia knows about being burnt out, because you are giving so much of you that you don't have time for yourself. And a light bulb went off, you know, where I'm like, okay, I have to realize that if I'm not going on my vacations every now and again, if I'm not buying myself the things that I want, not even to fulfill me, but just because you every now and again you want something nice for yourself. If I'm not taking my spa days, if I'm not doing the things that's helping me feel uplifted, if I'm not reaching my levels that I want to reach, that it can become somewhat of a resentment. So every now and again you might I'll lose a little focus, but you got to channel back in. And things will happen to help to kind of help you to channel back in. So I think it definitely is a part of self-love. And it's not even being with people who kind of have my mind frame, it's not selfish, it's self-preservation. But I had to kind of learn that behavior, because I was the aunt before I had my kids that would go Christmas shopping by October and get all of my nieces and nephews. You know, that was kind of the concept. But then I had to understand that while you're buying a gift for your nieces and nephews, you buy a gift for yourself too. Like it's a reformation of your mind frame.
I think that is absolutely brilliant advice. You're listening once again live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. I'm going to encourage you all. You can press 1 if you'd like to speak to the host or the co-host or our featured guest, Ms. Novia Reed, author of Woman, This Is For You, Devotion from the Heart. All right, we're going to switch now to the other story. And tonight you can press 1 on your dial if you want to chime in here. The importance of self-love. Let's go to the other story now. This one will deal with a guy by the name of Frank. They're putting it up on the screen for us now. Okay, here we go. Frank, this story is about a guy named Frank. Frank is in his early 20s, and he's never been married, has no children, and desperate to fall in love and be loved by a woman who would love to have him. Unfortunately, the challenge for Frank is he has low self-esteem because of the following reasons. Now, I want you all to get this here. I mean, Frank he's a good guy. When he was in middle school, he was badly and sadly bullied because of him being significantly overweight. In high school, his weight had escalated to a point that he was still being picked on. He was also manipulated because he was considered the class nerd because of his intelligence. Now, in 11th grade, you know, his high school year, 11th grade, he liked this pretty girl, which happens to a lot of guys, you know, but he felt, you know, not worthy of having her. And he liked this girl in his class by the name of Georgette. Now, Georgette was also admired by a number of other young men in the class, and she was admired by most men in the school, most of the guys in the school. Well, Georgette used or manipulated Frank only during testing times to make a passing grade. And she would also tell him that she was his girlfriend. Now, she actually told him that. After that year and the following year when they graduated high school, matters became evident to Frank that Georgette was never his girlfriend because they never went out on one single date, nor did they ever even kiss or hold hands. It especially became true to Frank when Georgette told him that she could never date a heavyset guy like him and such a boring guy, she said. Now, over the years, this has taken a significant toll on Frank's ability to love himself, which now leaves him in a depressed mode, which has been hard for him to overcome. Ms. Reed, as our featured guest, talking about self-love, I start out with this first question is, how could Frank not realize that Georgette was not his girlfriend in 2 years' time? I mean, really? I mean, I'm a poor guy.
it's a sad story, but it's a reality for a lot of people. And so he probably, I won't say maybe he knew, but sometimes the signs were probably there, But I remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about our realities. You had a show, we talked about our realities. We see the evidence, but we kind of ignore it, or we want to ignore it because we may have. Exactly. And so he probably saw the evidence, but because of, you know, him having a pretty girl, you know, talking to him and telling him these things, that that's his girlfriend, he's never had that before, that's a woman who's liked by other people, you know, very attractive. So the evidence was probably there, but he probably ignored it. And it probably hit him when she actually communicated to him that I could never date you. So sometimes, right, like, we go along with things, you know, even though the evidence is there, we kind of go along with it because it's our reality. It's what we want. It's what we hope for. But
right,
her actions versus her verbally telling him, hey, it kind of, light bulb probably went off on him, and he actually said, okay, she reality set him, actually setting into me now, like, she's not my girlfriend. She told me that. But and sometimes instinctively we hope that what's happening actually becomes reality. And she told him that, even though that wasn't the case. But who knows? Over the 2 years, he was probably hoping that she actually does become my girlfriend. Maybe she will see me as somebody good or worthy of dating. That could happen,
right,
but it just didn't happen in his case, unfortunately. So,
right.
Well, maybe not unfortunately, because she may not have been a nice person. So who knows?
Right. Ms. Croft, let me ask you this question. But, I mean, why did he go on helping her when, as Ms. Reed said, that was probably his reality, that, you know, she could be his girlfriend or not? Why would she go on? Why would he go on, rather?
Because to him, he was still getting some form of attention. So
uh-huh,
he has this pretty girl who's giving him some attention. So some people will think she was low. He's getting some kind of attention from her. That, to him, that may have been enough. And like Ms. Novia was saying, maybe in his mind he thought that it was a possibility that they can develop into something more, you know. But I look at it like this, because I always tell my daughter, don't be mean to the nerdy kids, because the nerdy kids are the doctors, the lawyers, and the CEOs of tomorrow. And I have seen it with my own two eyes. So I'm like, you know what? You'll see, in high school, I have seen it on numerous occasions. You'll see the, what is it, the caterpillar that years later they form into this butterfly. And I just think, like, and I tell her that jokingly, but, you know, I try to make sure that she doesn't have a mean-spirited nature towards people either, because that's
right,
something that, of course, people should learn at home. But
okay,
I think that it was, he's actually benefiting by not having her in his life, because, as Zovia says, she doesn't seem like she was a good person anyways.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
But I think overall, he kind of stayed around her.
Uh-huh. Now, you ladies, and you're both in the field of social work, and let me just ask this question. I got to put you all out there on the spot. And let me begin with you, Ms. Cross, and ask a question. If you were Georgette, I know you're not going to use in terms of manipulating him, but come on, you got this guy that's admiring you, and, I mean, he's shy, and you know when a guy likes you. Ms. Cross, let me begin with you and ask for your honest opinion on it. If you want to pass, say pass. But, you know, Frank is heavyset, and he wants to hold your hand around the school just, mm-hmm, you know, because he likes you, and he's expressed this to you. He's given you cards, and you've accepted those cards because you think he's a nice guy. But now he says, well, can I walk you to your class and carry your books and hold your hand? What do you say, Ms. Cross?
Well, I guess I'll chime in on my own personal experience, because I consider myself a fairly, you know, an attractive woman, and you kind of do have suitors that come to you that maybe you're not as attractive to them as they are to you. But,
right,
you know, in high school is one thing. I'm thinking kind of in the realm of where I am now, because kind of in the area and the field that I'm in, and I go to, you know, when I'm starting to do my networking and things, men will see an attractive woman if they know you're single. They automatically say, well, let me at least shoot my shot, you know.
Right,
and
I've had
fellas that kind of present, you know, they'll come, you know, they oh, I want to help you, whatever. And then in the third quarter, they kind of ask, are you single? Okay. So with me, you don't have to be mean-spirited with how you address the situation. I think there's nothing wrong, you know, I have friendships with males that I'm not attracted to all the time. So I think like it's all about how you kind of how you deal with the situation. You don't have to be mean spirited. You don't have to use anyone. You know, I just think that you tell the person up front, well, you know, right now I'm not looking for that. Or you may tell them, I would rather have a friendship with you, or, you know, I would rather do business with you. But you don't have to drag them along, or, you know, kind of be manipulative, because it seems that that's kind of manipulative. If you're not interested in someone and you know they're interested in you, you can tell them, you know, you can be upfront and straightforward and tell them that, you know, that's not really my intention with you.
Okay.
And then I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, go ahead. You say you don't think there's anything wrong.
We're being upfront and straightforward, yes.
All right. Ms. Lee, do you hold Frank's hand? He's heavy set. You're one of the most attractive women around the school. You guys are in 11th grade, and you know Frank likes you. And he just wants to carry your books and wants to walk you to your locker and hold your hand. Ms. Reed, do you hold his hand and let him carry your books?
I wouldn't base it on his weight. Like, if it's somebody.
Because if it's
attraction, if I'm not attracted to him based on his weight, that's a different thing. So if that's on the basis where I'm not attracted to him and he wants to hold my books and do all these things because he's interested in me, if I'm devil's advocate, if I'm shallow, yeah, I'm going to let him hold my books and do all those things, but I'm not going to let him hold my hand. If I'm not shallow and I'm trying to, you know, be a good person and not be mean-spirited like Ms. Cross said, I'm not going to lead him on. I'm going to tell him, Frank, no, listen, I know you like me, but I don't like you that way. You know, we could be friends. And now if he still chooses, hey, well, I still want to carry your books and stuff like that as a friend, no problem, go ahead, carry my books if you want to. But know that it's not going to lead to anything more than you being my friend.
Okay, I'm Frank over here now. And I'm Frank over here playing devil's advocate since you called it out. And I'm thinking, if she lets me carry her books, even though she doesn't want me to hold her hand right now, this time, that can change down the future. She's letting me walk her to her locker. I still have a chance.
I'm going to be upfront with him and let him know.
We don't hear that as men.
Well, you're talking about high school. This is high school, right?
High school, right?
So, yeah, we still have room to grow.
But even as men, they don't always come on. Now you have to know that men are persistent. Even as they get older, they're thinking, "Wow, she smiled at me. She must really like me. I made her laugh."
I've met a guy, and I remember he was being very nice, and he started asking me about my relationship status. Of course, you know, he's trying to. And I remember I told him, yeah, I'm seeing someone, and he offered to, I think it was like, do something nice. And I was like, oh, I'm okay. He said, listen, don't block your blessings. He said, if someone wants to bless you, you take the blessing. And I was like, okay. But the whole thing is, I feel like, as Ms. Novia said, if you put the intentions out there that this is what it is, this is what it can be, this is what it's not going to be, you know, then, and, you know, I know that in high school it is very different than in being an adult. But I think that if you're very upfront with someone, then that's their choice if they choose to go there. That's just what I'm saying. I'm holding on to my words.
Okay, both of you all, I got to ask this question. Let's start with Ms. Cross on this one here. Ms. Cross, it's Valentine's Day. This guy, you know he admires you. He works on your job. He gives you red roses and a card that says, Happy Valentine's Day. You're my Valentine for my life, my life's Valentine. Okay, so what do you say, Ms. Cross? And Ms. Reed is going to be the same question for you. What do you say, Ms. Cross? Red roses,
okay,
a dozen red roses,
okay.
And a cross.
So I'm single or am I dating someone?
No, you're single. Okay.
Okay.
But the guy admires you, and you know that. But you're not attracted to him. You don't like him like that. But you know, he gives you these roses. What do you say? Besides thank you, and what do you say? You take them, right?
Well, if he gets, I would. If I'm being honest, If someone offers
don't
you
miss
a
out
coffee,
on your blessing, right? That's what you said, right? Go ahead.
Hold on. I said being honest. If someone offers me roses, I would take the roses. I would.
Okay.
Be honest with you, the whole concept of you're my Valentine, forever Valentine, I would be a little, that may concern me just because of the fact that I'm kind of thinking, like, where is he thinking this can lead to? But I've been giving gifts from people who I just don't know what our relationship is, because I've been giving gifts from male friends, and their intentions are not to have something more with me than what we have.
Okay. That card, you know, you say thank you for the card as well?
That's a sticky one. It's just that in this day and age, you have to be very concerned.
Okay.
Because that card is very concerning, just because of the verbiage in the card.
Okay, but
it seems like you're forever Valentine. I don't know. That's a little.
When you read the card, what do you do with the card? What do you do with the card? That's what I'm trying to find out. You've read the card now. You saw that. He didn't say love you or love, you know, but you saw a card. And he said, Valentine's for life, Frank. What do you do with the card? You read it. You say, thank you, Frank. Ms. Reed, while she's thinking about it,
with me, I'm very different with my wordplay, because I like to address situations as they are, especially when it comes to just men. So him giving me that card, I would be like, I'm your forever Valentine. What does that mean? I would ask him, because that's just how my personality is.
Right. So
because
he said,
to be anything that I'm misunderstanding.
Okay. Well, that means that you just, my Valentine, I'll be thinking about you sometimes during Valentine. Now he's kind of embarrassed because you're asking him that question. And so he's like, well, you know, it's just the Valentine's, you know. And so now what do you do? Let's go to Ms. Reed while you're thinking about it. Huh? Go ahead, Ms. Cross. Go ahead.
I would thank him for the roses, but I would kind of have one eye open because, you know, it's just in the day and age that we live in, you have to, you know, I'm just a little paranoid, period, I think. That's just kind of my nature. So I would kind of have one eye open.
All right. Ms. Reed, what do you do? You got the red, you got the roses, a dozen red roses, and you got this card, Valentine's forever, Frank.
Like Ms. Cross said, being in the social work field, you're more aware of certain things, and you know, you handle certain things differently because of what you know and what we know go on. So red roses telling me that in the car, it depends on my rejection of it would depend on where he gives it to me. Like if he gives it to me in the midst of a crowd of people, then I'm going to politely take it. But if he gives it to me like in privacy one-on-one, I'm going to tell him I can't take it. Because, and for me, it's going to depend on the relationship or connection I have with him. Like, does he already know that this feeling is not mutual? You know, like, did we already have a conversation about this for him to know that, hey, I'm not attracted to you, and he still bought me red roses? Then I'm going to tell you absolutely no. Because clearly something's not registering.
Right.
I don't want that. Right. And then for you to go to the store and pick up red roses and put Forever Love, red flag, because we've already had this conversation. Now, if we've never had the conversation about it and he just randomly gave it to me and said, hey, I just want to give it to you, you're my forever Valentine, red flag again, but I may take the roses, but I'll probably say to him, and if I read the card, because a similar situation happened to me, and listen, you have to nip that stuff in the bud like ASAP.
Right.
Because when you accept certain things or when you take the card, you're given false hope and dependent. You don't know that person's mental stability, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be mindful not to give them any false hope. So I would if I read the card, if he said, no, take him home and read the card at home, and I don't read what he said until I got home, then crap, I don't have a chance to address it then. But better believe, by the next time I see him, we're going to talk about it. We're going to be like, Frank, you know what? I appreciate the card. It's a sweet card. I'm glad that you see this in me. But, Frank, you know, I just see you as this. I just see you as a good person, as a friend. It's not mutual. And that's that. Because, again, if you don't address it, it gives a person false hope. And they could linger and pursue you. And, if you don't see it going anywhere, it doesn't make sense. So that's how it handles. Frank.
Wow. You know, I think that you all deserve a round of applause for your responses on that, because I noticed how you all were selective and careful in your words, because people are listening to that. No, I mean, seriously, you all are. And rightfully so, because you have to be extremely careful, because, you know, I told you, as not only Frank in high school, but men today and age, they don't perceive these messages as the same. You accept red roses. You know, red roses send a message. You got to know that. He didn't just send you white flowers or roses. He didn't send you yellow carnations or something. He sent you roses. Roses signifies that I have strong feelings for you. You don't know that, right? I mean, that's what red roses.
Yes.
That's, yeah. Red roses means.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I was gonna ask Novia. I think because of the profession that we're in, when things like that happen, you automatically see client. And you start assessing this patient, this person, and you start doing your questioning to kind of see where they are. Like,
the mind is
that. It's the natural reaction, and you know, it's funny because I've had friends that say, "Listen, Mila, are you doing therapy on me?"
Exactly, and they say, "Don't client me. Don't use your therapy on me." Yeah, so you're right.
Exactly. So I think sometimes it's hard to turn it off. So you kind of, you know, you don't, and especially having a, I don't know if you said you experienced that before, like, you don't want to aggravate the person either, so you definitely want to kind of touch the situation to where you're not offending the person, but at the same
right.
time, you're giving a clear message, you know?
Wow, that is – see, and that's the part. I like what you all are saying. I know that you don't want to and I can see as social workers, you all are very careful in how you put things, and you don't want to offend the person. But I do like it also when you all say you got to be upfront with them. You got to let them know. Red roses, I mean – you don't even accept red roses from a guy unless you are involved or interested in him. Because when he gives most men know, if I give you red roses, I mean, if he's got a wife and has a big event and he gives you those roses, it can be an innocent thought of love, you know, like general love. Because if his wife is there and he's giving her two dozen roses and he says, to show my appreciation, I'm giving you, this is a token of my love. It doesn't always mean anything, though. I mean, so, for example, like a secretary, executive secretary, if that's the boss, and his wife is there at this big banquet event, and he's singing his wife, of course, with two dozen roses, and he says, I also want, because I've been in those events, too, and he says, I also want to give my secretary of staff a dozen roses, but he gave his wife two dozen roses. You know, we're clearly the sign that it's nothing illy intended. But then the wife is not even offended because he's already had this conversation with her, and she was probably the one to recommend those flowers for the lady. Now, is that acceptable to you all? Because he's not hiding anything.
No, he's not. But, I mean, typically, again, love and appreciation, they're different types of love. So while
right.
he may get red for his wife, he may get white for his secretary or yellow for her. It's not necessarily
right.
quantity,
right.
but it's the type and what it symbolizes as well. You know,
right.
so he probably may get her a mixture of roses, pink, whatever, yellow,
right.
blue, but he's going to get a different type of rose for his wife, not just a quantity, a different type of rose because there's a
yeah.
different symbolism to it.
Right.
So,
right. so we have to be careful on that. We've got about 30 seconds remaining, and listen, this show could never end. We could go on and on with this one here. let me just, as a matter of fact, they've given me instructions for next week's show. Y'all are going to laugh about this one. Should a woman accept gifts or cards from a man she's not interested in? about
oh,
that
Lord.
One? Yeah, should a woman accept gifts or cards from a man she's
That's
not interested in?
That's going to be a good one.
That's going to be a real good one.
On that one.
When you start taking these gifts, you all will want to find out next week what those gifts can do to you when you take them from someone that you're not interested in. Listen, Ms. Reed, just give us a quick synopsis on self-love and tell us your book both books, just briefly here, and then Ms. Cross, you'll close us out tonight.
Well, self-love, I would just encourage, it's a struggle. It's something we also struggle with. We all may struggle with on a daily basis, but I just encourage everyone to take the time to recognize your strengths, your gifts, and your assets. You are here on the earth for a purpose, and God personally handcrafted you, so know that you have value to God, and if you have value to God, that's, you should know that that's the highest value you could have. So value and learn to value yourself and to prioritize your needs and to practice self-care, because all these things will be beneficial to you. If anyone wants to find out about my books or my self-love coaching program, they can go to my website, www.noviareid.com, or they can call me at 786-657-4310. That's 786-657-4310.
All right, excellent. Ms. Cross, this closes on out.
Okay, and I want to say that with self-love, sometimes it's about embracing who you are, because I believe that, like Novia said, God makes no mistakes. So he made you perfectly who you are. That means you need to embrace your faults, embrace the things that society says are maybe imperfections. It's about who you are, and it's about loving yourself and growing and becoming the best you that you can be. And I want to tell you, if you guys are needing anger management services, you can go ahead and email me. I'm at www.yourworthllc.com, and I'll be more than happy to assist you in getting to that journey and that self-actualization and becoming the best you that you can be.
All right. You've heard it here live on the Dr. Jeff Schwartz Show. Join us here tomorrow night for your half-hour inspirational programming. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's programming, join us back here live next Thursday when the topic will be, should a woman accept gifts or cards from a man she's not interested in? You don't want to miss that show. Until tomorrow, until next Thursday, I say my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night.